You are flying high with Locked On Eagles, your daily source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your co-host, Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. You can follow me on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. My usual co-host, Michael Kist, not with me today. He's working. He's got a busy life. You know, he's doing his thing, but that's okay. It's the Crossover Pod Wednesday. And so I've got two wonderful gentlemen, Bear and James of Locked On Rams, joining me on this podcast. Before we get into the interview, as always, please rate, please review, and please subscribe on whatever app or program you listen to your podcast. Please give us a rating, give us a review, let us know what you like, what you don't like. We are currently at, I believe, 56 ratings. We've got a ton of 55 five-star ratings. Oh, it's been wonderful. And I'm so appreciative of you guys. Thank you so much. Keep on dropping those. Y'all are the best. Without any further ado, James, Bear, myself, talking some Rams Eagles.
Rams Nation, Eagles Nation, welcome guys. We have Ben Solak, we got Bear Motter, and James Kroger, and we're going to talk this interesting Eagles-Rams matchup we have coming this week. Ben, thanks for jumping on and talking with us. James, again, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Ben, I'll shoot it right over to you to start this off. You guys come off a loss last week in Seattle, head home, and then come out here to L.A. Tell me about what you guys expect this week and you know, how this matchup's going to go right off the bat.
Yeah, things are interesting now. Very excited to see this team after a loss. Very pumped. You know, obviously only the second loss of the year. First loss at Kansas City against Andy Reid, you know, a very young team, didn't yet have all these playoff expectations that it currently has. So you lost one to the Chiefs, who at that time were kind of the cream of the NFL. They just came off of trouncing the Patriots, and you moved on. You know, that was a game where, you know, I remember back when my usual co-host Mike and I previewed that one, we said Eagles will probably drop this, and they did, and then we moved forward. Then you go on a 9-game winning streak, you drop one against Seattle, and you're at the point where, wow, you know, we really need to see how this team responds to adversity, responds to a tough loss where they didn't execute, they weren't firing on all cylinders like they've been. Because you need to be able to do that as a playoff team. You need to be able to do that as a maturing team. This is a very young team, young head coach, young quarterback. So this, you know, that game against Seattle, you know, we saw some of those chinks in earlier games. Kind of that was an amalgamation of just all the bad stuff that kind of has reared its ugly head in bits and pieces over the past few weeks. Mm-hmm. Poor performance in Seattle. Very excited to see how these guys do on the road, you know, not going back. They're in LA for the entire week, seeing some adversity. It's going to be really interesting to see kind of the mettle of this team. I'm excited. It's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, and, you know, me and James were just talking about that. We weren't sure if we were excited that the Eagles just lost. Like, did they get pissed off and they're going to come down a little bit more serious? Or if we were happy because maybe that opened up that second seed, you know, in the playoffs as far as maybe getting home field advantage. How did you look at that? Do you think it woke you guys up, or do you think you're kind of seeing some scariness that you're nervous going into this game?
Yeah, maybe it's rose-colored glasses. Maybe it's the Homer vision, but I'll be very frank with you. I think that you would have preferred us to beat Seattle and maybe, you know, play a sloppy game or, you know, whatever, kind of come in. There's been a big, big narrative, national media, you know, conferences, you know, offensive coordinator Frank Wright, defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz had their press conferences today, you know, interviews with Carson Wentz. There's been a big narrative of, you know what? We were not satisfied with the week of practice that we had coming into Seattle. We did not play the way we wanted to play. That was embarrassing. Like, there's been a very, like, clear message that this team very much felt like they got complacent before the Seattle game, and they rightfully got their butts handed to them. And knowing what you kind of know, you know, Philadelphia has kind of grown this blue-collar attitude around their organization right now. Carson Wentz has got that North Dakota toughness that we all like to talk about. Doug Peterson, a real players coach, real people sort of a guy. It's a very is a team that you get the sense they really believe in themselves, and they were very disappointed with the performance they put out on Sunday night. So if I had to go on a side, again, it could be Homer glasses, but in my eyes, this is a motivated bunch coming into Los Angeles.
No, I like it because I think me and James are sitting here with our Homer glasses on as well, and we're excited for this matchup. So, you know, I don't blame you. As you look at these two teams, it's easy for both of us to have a case, right? I mean, everyone's having a great season. We've got these two young quarterbacks, these two young, amazing coaches. And then throw in a couple great defenses, and it makes it easy for both of us to kind of have that argument, right? Coming into this, there's many of those storylines. Which one do you look at that kind of says, you know, this is the most interesting to me, the coaches, the quarterbacks, the defense, or the turnarounds?
Oof, that's tough. I was very, very ready to go say quarterbacks until you said the turnarounds, because I think I'm gonna go with the turnarounds. I know everyone's gonna be talking about the second year quarterbacks, one and two. That's obviously a huge storyline. I'm sure we'll get to it. I know that I want to hear some stuff about Goff. Sure, you have questions about Wentz, but really, in my opinion, these are two teams that coming into the season, maybe they had expectations of taking a step forward, but I don't think you were talking about potential first, second seeds in the NFC with these two teams before the season. You know, that was not what folks thought coming in. And then really interesting situations, I think, because you kind of had Jared Goff pick, you know, number one overall pick, had sort of that bust narrative around him in year one, even though, you know, that's a little bit preemptive for sure. And then you get a kind of a Sean McVay sort of a savior situation coming in. Everybody says, wow, this is the hottest guy in the head coaching market. It's a little bit flipped for Philadelphia. Doug Peterson was the guy who was brought in. Very wary of Peterson was the Eagle media, where the Eagle team at first, you know, wasn't really a hot name on the coaching market. Meanwhile, Wentz was kind of brought in as the cult figure, you know, he's the quarterback, kind of, he was viewed as the savior. So I think the way these two teams have grown, and then you bring in, you know, big name defensive coordinators for both teams, Jim Schwartz and Wade Phillips, who really rejuvenated those units. There's fun similarities, fun differences, fun things to play on and talk about. This could be a matchup that, you know, is important for the next 5-10 years, which is a lot of fun to think about.
Yeah, 5-10 years when you said it, I just got really excited. I just started picturing in the future and seeing all that. We both have the teams, the youth, the coach. Two fun markets you hear a lot about here in LA is how our TV market seems to be down right now. We sold out the stadium. Only tickets you can get right now are on the secondary market. I was looking at work today. Someone told me they found tickets for $77. I was like, buy them now. Yeah. By the time they processed it, the next most available was $225. Missed out. So we're going to be kind of trying to find our way into this game, but it's going to be a fun one. It's not going to be Seattle. It's not going to be cold. And we'll see what happens on Sunday, but I'm excited.
So Ben, one thing about both of our teams is, you know, the Rams the past couple of weeks have had more hurt here, but we always talk about our injury report and how it's been beneficial to us all season. Of course, the last couple of weeks, we lose Robert Woods. Connor Barwin goes out. He fractured his forearm. Malcolm Brown, one of our running backs, is out, but probably should be back for this game. And then Alec Ogletree, our quarterback on the defense, hurt himself last week as well. Looking at you guys, your injury report looks pretty clean for the most part, and I definitely think that's one of your biggest weapons. Do you think that's going to be a major factor in this game, looking at sort of who we have sitting out and the fact that you guys have a pretty clean on your side, if that's going to have a big dent?
Oh, most definitely. I think kind of after the Cowboys win, Mike and I started a narrative, Locked On Eagles listeners will know, where we just said, all right, the main goal from here on out is stay healthy. Just don't hurt Wentz or anybody else. Obviously, we lost Jason Peters. We lost Jordan Hicks. We lost Darren Sproles in a very quick period. Those are three key players, three veteran leaders, huge cogs, and we lost them all within the span of two games. And that was a very scary moment. Now, Jordan Hicks hasn't been too bad. Darren Sproles hasn't been too bad. Peters, a little bit worse. It's tough to replace a franchise left tackle like that. But since then, the Eagles have stayed pretty healthy. And as we know, health becomes a bigger and bigger factor as every week passes. Now, of course, one big guy on the Eagles injury report for me is tight end Zach Ertz, right? Currently, I believe the leading receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles in yardage, only Eagles receiver with an 100-yard game this season, only Eagles receiver with a 10-catch game this season, playing the tight end position. He's really the primary target. You know, Alshon Jeffrey, big contract, great wide receiver, fun guy for Wentz. We've talked about him a lot in Locked On Eagles. Ertz is the guy. He's the safety blanket for Wentz. He's really the main target that Wentz has worked with for 2 years. You know, Aguilar has also been in the building for 2 years, but he had a shaky year in Wentz's first year. So that report's still growing. Ertz is the dude. Currently in the concussion protocol, it's a finger crossed situation. It's not common that you get a concussion on one Sunday and you're playing the next Sunday. You know, that's happened, but it's not often. In the event that Zach Ertz can't go, Philadelphia offense does look a little bit different. And it's actually really interesting to think about the potential of Ertz playing and then Alec Ogletree, whether or not he's able to go, because that's kind of a matchup right there, that tight end. And then if Alec Ogletree is ever over him in coverage. So, yeah, I think that Eagles health has been an advantage for them moving forward. But Ertz is a big, big, big out if he's not there. I'm curious, so I want to know from you guys, is Robert Woods going to play? Because Robert Woods has been stupid good, like silly good over this season. I was not ready for this. And I know he's been out for a couple of weeks. He was maybe going to be back for this game. Is he back or no?
So he's not going to be back for this game. And you're right. He was our top wide receiver when it came to overall receptions. But yeah, I was a little worried about that last week against Arizona, but our team adjusted so much. We have so much depth in the wide receiver position, and people like Cooper Kupp, who is such a clean route runner, is kind of always open. He's one of Goff's favorite receivers. And then Sammy Watkins, you know, he's got that deep threat, but he's been getting the ball a little bit on the short side as well, with getting some of those extra yards after the reception, and he's been scoring too. So the team adjusted in an amazing way. I was actually really concerned last week with Woods being out on how we're going to replace him, not to mention Josh Reynolds, who was a fourth round draft pick this last year. He really stepped up this last game as well to replace him. So this team just tends to evolve. It's like a moving amoeba, and we utilize every aspect of this team, and we still got a lot of potential as well. You mentioned, we're talking about our injury report, Malcolm Brown, another running back who's been out a while. And then Lance Dunbar, previous star, he dressed last week, but he didn't play. But I think adding two more running backs into the equation as well is going to allow an offensive mind genius like Sean McVay to really open things up and continue to evolve this offense.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this.
I love it.
Oh, go ahead, man.
Well, I just was going to jump in and say, I mean, anytime you can go to a moving amoeba, I think I'm excited, man.
You like, call me a nerd earlier. Yeah, I wanted to talk James about is, some of the scientific
James is our
terms.
Nerd guy. I was like, wow, I love it. Let's make a t-shirt.
It's a good metaphor.
It is. And I really quickly want to touch on it because, Ben, you talked about, Robert Woods being a big missing point for us. And we were shocked about the production we got when they signed him out here. There was a lot of like, okay, that's a good middle guy. You know, we'll see if it plays out. And no one was ecstatic about that signing, right? And to see how he fit in right away, made that connection. He was that safety net for Goff when Cooper Kupp had the dropsies earlier in the season. So to see him kind of go was a big miss. We would love to have him, but I think everyone in Rams Nation is on that side of get healthy first, come back when you're ready. So he's definitely going to be out. Maybe one more week for us, and then we'll see how it goes forward from there.
All right, so then let me ask you this, and I'm excited. Like Robert Woods, USC receiver, kind of a weird start to the career, getting better. That's only good news for Nelson Aguilar, so I'm perfectly fine with that. Now, I want to ask.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. I want to ask this, though. There was a big, hashtag weapons for Wentz campaign. Philadelphia Eagle fans will know about that in the offseason coming from 2016 into 2017. The prevailing mindset there was, Wentz looked good. He had some flashes. He had some struggles, rookie lumps, whatever. But the biggest storyline was, how can we really evaluate this guy with such poor pieces around him? Aguilar was struggling. Jordan Matthews is a decent slot guy. He's a solid number two, number three option, but he isn't the dude. Ertz was still coming along, and then you had Dorial Green-Beckham starting on the outside. That's just rough. Offensive line wasn't great.
Right.
It was weapons for Wentz. We need to go get some pass catchers. We were leading the league in drops. It was awful, right? So looking out, Jared Goff, really big step forward in his second season. So I'm curious, in your guys' eyes, what's kind of been like the biggest impetus there? What's really brought that about? Has it been adding those weapons? You bring in Watkins, you draft Kupp, you draft Gerald Everett, you already have Tyler Higbee in the building, you've got Robert Woods, Todd Gurley. Was it getting all those pieces around him? Was it Sean McVay? Like you guys said, offensive mastermind. Was it, Andrew Whitworth getting more time at left tackle, a much better piece on that offensive line? Was it just Goff's work in the offseason? What is it that's really propelled his drive forward?
No, that's a great question, Ben. And you know what? It's a little from column A, a little from column B. I think it went C, D, and almost
The answer is D or F, all of the above.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good to see kind of how all these pieces came together. I think that's the biggest thing is no one really saw it happening this fast, right? We added the left tackle. We added the pieces. We traded for Sammy Watkins right before the season started, so there was no complaints there, right? Sean McVay, who, if you haven't seen a post-win press conference or locker room speech from Sean McVay, do yourself a favor. Play it at like 7 in the morning. You'll be ready for the day. And then, exactly. And then it's kind of putting all those things together, and that's building the internal confidence of Jared Goff. And you could see from game one till now how, he just used to be pretty little, I don't want to say shaky, because I always said that he was great in the pocket, but he's standing in there, he's stepping into the throws. That was always at the beginning of the season, he was fading. He wasn't planting that foot and driving through. And this last game, Tony Romo was basically saying, he's throwing from a phone booth, man. He's has all the power in his back leg, and he's ready to go at any moment. That one of the great touchdowns of Reynolds, which James mentioned earlier, of a rookie stepping up. Jared Goff gives him the old playground point to this way. He gets there, throws the ball where no one can catch it. So seeing those type of plays is add confidence to him, adding to the line and the coach, and then having a great defense. All those things together have been great for the LA Rams.
Yeah, you set up all the foundation factors to have an amazing quarterback. You get him time behind the pocket with Whitworth and Sullivan back there. You can tell that Goff trusts those guys so much with the confidence he's bringing behind the pocket. And then you set him up with some quick, fast route runners and amazing receivers and so many different options. And then you take an offensive mind like Sean McVay. Take a look at Coach Fisher. He's a defensive-minded coach, and he's a very 90s type of style when it came to offense too. And so that just wasn't going to play anymore. And you take Sean McVay, who's younger than both of us, youngest coach in the NFL, who's a quarterback guy who Kirk Cousins says that he owes his career to, and give them the perfect foundation around him. I mean, it's the perfect formula to set him up for success. And kind of like how Bear mentioned in the beginning, we weren't really expecting it to happen this fast, but we're not complaining about it.
Right. Ben, you mentioned the weapons for Wentz, right? That was the hashtag.
Oh, yeah, weapons for Wentz.
We've got Sammy Watkins, who's on a contract year. Everyone's wondering at this point where he hasn't had that massive production season, but he's been, I don't want to say a decoy, but that deep threat that people have to account for. Mm-hmm. And starting lately, he's really picking up where he's getting, four or five catches and getting in the end zone. And so people are starting to settle a little bit here. But I think there's a lot of skepticism with him re-signing him long-term. Would that be someone that you would see the Eagles going after if he was free? Or what do you guys – are there any early indications on who is out there and what you would go after for Wentz?
Ask me that a week ago, and the answer is definitely yes. Then Alshon inks 4 years, $52 million extension. And now, you don't envision Philadelphia spending a significant amount of money at the wide receiver position. Now, Torrey Smith was the other offseason addition in the Weapons for Wentz campaign. Comes in from San Francisco. Yeah, excited about his ability, kind of similar like you were alluding to Watkins' role. Excited about his ability to take the top off of defense. Got long speed, can threaten the safeties deep. That's good stuff, but Torrey hasn't really been that for us. He suffered with some drops. Over the past 7 weeks, his longest catch has been for 11 yards, which is not great. And so there's talk there. Aguilar's pretty permanent in the slot. Alshon is now your long-term guy, that split end, that X receiver. So looking at the flanker position, it's very likely they'll move on from Torrey Smith at the end of the season. $500,000 in dead cap when you cut him, $4.5 million released. Eagles are currently strapped for caps. They've been doling out extensions like there's no tomorrow. So that's a pretty easy give. Who's starting at that flanker position at the Z? Well, Mac Hollins is a rookie that they like, fourth-round guy who everybody wants him to get more snaps than Torrey Smith. He's been seeing his snaps increase, but they kind of took a step down against Seattle. I'm not really sure why about that. Or they could potentially go somebody in the mid-rounds of the draft. Look, it's not a great 2018 wide receiver free agent class, but they could, take a look and see what's there. I don't envision them adding much more in the pass catcher department. They should be excited about Ertz, Aguilar, and Alshon moving forward. Running back, you've got Jay Ajayi there now one more year after he'll be done in 2019. And then you've got some younger guys, Corey Clement, Danelle Pumphrey, you might fill those ranks. So weapons for Wentz, probably, that campaign is pretty soundly done. We feel comfortable with the guys that we have. Now, I'm curious for you guys, and I got to ask this, I'm sorry. But, on the Eagles side of things, I got to know, 7 points against the Vikings, 10 points against Seattle. This is, right now these two teams are tied for the best offenses in the NFL, both of them averaging, I believe, 30.1 mm-hmm. points per game, right, coming in dead tied. Mm-hmm. Eagles were ahead before that Seattle game. Now it's even. This Rams offense has looked unstoppable at times, but those two games really stood out to me, some low-scoring affairs for the Rams. What has stopped this offense from clicking the way it has all season?
Well, that's a great question. And, it's one of those things where I just went scratch through my list here of questions because you're going to get that bounce back right away because, I'm curious about those two matchups. You guys up in Seattle, I definitely was watching, didn't expect that, right? Especially with the injuries that they've had there. We went into Minnesota. They did something well about basically they didn't get out-schemed. McVay is doing all these great play calls, and he's really challenging a lot of the defenses to be really, really smart about what they're doing. Their linebacking core stayed so legit in that secondary. They did not let Todd Gurley get going on the ground or through the air. And one of the things that the Rams have done really well is if it's not going on the ground, they can move him out of the backfield and find a way to get the ball in his hands and move him up the field. And the Vikings did a great job of really just clamping down on him. They added a lot of pressure as well, which was tough for them. And overall, we had a couple weird plays, just like you guys did, which is weird. That same game, we had a fumble on the 1 yard line, Cooper Kupp, where we were going in. Yeah. To go for a lead. We were tied in going into the fourth quarter. You saw that again, obviously, with Wentz making a big drive going in to put a touchdown in and fumble on the one. And as soon as that happened, I was like, thankfully it happens to other people. Like Cooper Kupp can breathe again, you know? But no, that's great. And that's what's crazy. We got a bounce back game. That's the nice thing that I love to watch is we came back. We got the Arizona Cardinals last week, put up 36 points. Got to see the offense not move, you know, as fluid as we'd like, but we put up the points. Mm-hmm. So we got to kind of shake off game. My curiosity for you is this your shake off game? Can you bounce back this quick? How do you see your offense kind of adjusting to what they learned last week and getting back to what we're used to seeing from Carson Wentz and throwing the ball around and picking up yardage and scoring and winning big?
Yeah, I anticipate a bit of a bounce back. And it all hinges, of course, on the quarterback. You know, I talked about on the Monday show for Eagles listeners. It sounds silly to say, but it's kind of the reality. We talked a lot about seeing a regression from Carson Wentz, from kind of the play that was earning him all that MVP hype, you know, that MVP consideration, in the sense that that was a lot better than we thought we were going to see Carson in his second year. And it was also just plainly statistically a lot better than he was playing, right? He's still got mechanical issues. He's still got footwork problems. He's still got, I'm going to stare at my first read for about 10 to 15 seconds problems. You know, those still persist as you expect them to do with a guy who's only started 4 years of football either at the FCS or NFL level, right? Like he just doesn't have that experience. You're still going to see growing patterns. And so what really, in my opinion, held us up against Seattle was ourselves, and it was the play of Carson. You just missed some easy throws, and then what you saw Doug Peterson do, and you know, Peterson only been calling plays for about 2.5 years. He's got to kind of learn how to handle these situations. He really, really needed to get Carson into a rhythm, and he was trying to do so. It didn't work, so he went to that running game. You know, a lot of people said he got too conservative at the end of the first half. He definitely did, but he was really worried because Carson was all jumbled up. He was out of rhythm. Coming out in the second half, Doug Peterson put all of his eggs in the basket. You got to get Carson to a rhythm. Got to get him moving. And all of a sudden, we abandoned the run a little bit too much in the second half. Tough, finicky balance. You know, really hard thing to handle there as a head coach and as a play caller because Peterson does both. And so both Peterson and Wentz have something to figure out in that regard. I think the bigger storyline is, you know, Wentz, shaky performance, knows he missed some throws, knows he made mistakes like you alluded to down at the goal line. Will he be able to bounce back? Everything I know about the character of Carson Wentz, the individual that he is, leads me to believe yes. So that's my thought as far as, you know, kind of what really hung up the offense there against Seattle.
So on that note, Ben, you know, Seattle is the previous Legion of Boom, but they've been kind of, you know, now they don't have Richard Sherman and they're hurting a bit in a sense, but they were still able to give Wentz so much pressure. Facing a Rams defense where our secondary, we don't really have any injuries in that point. LaMarcus Joyner is looking great. And, you know, I'm wondering with the statements you just made, how you guys are going to sort of adjust facing this Rams defense. We haven't really talked about Wade Phillips and the way that he's changed this team on the defense side as well. So what, from your perspective, are you looking out for us for this game? I mean, is it going to be our rush against our pressure against the QB with somebody like Aaron Donald or more like our secondary on the defensive side?
Right. I expect, you know, one of the things that we missed early in the game against Seattle, in my opinion, was a physical brand of football. And that first scoring drive the Eagles had, they ended up putting up three because they had an Alshon Jeffrey hold at the 2 yard line that really killed the drive. Before that drive, very spread style of football, which the Eagles run very often. A lot of wide receivers, horizontal stretching concepts, you know, kind of trying to play a little bit more West Coast, quick passing, finesse ball. Third drive, they come out a lot tighter, a lot more physical. Eagles offensive line has been playing as good, if not better, than any unit in the NFL so far this year. And they came out and imposed their will on a Seattle defense that's physical, but they're a little undersized, right? I know that the Rams got good stats against the pass. That defense got nice sack stats. But 27th against the rush is the number that I have, giving up 122.8 yards per game. I think that right now, you know, the Eagles came into that that Seattle game, having rushed for at least 100 yards in the past seven matchups. They hit 98 against Seattle. They broke the streak. You know, but this team is consistently putting up 90, putting up 100. They were putting up 175 plus for three, four straight games coming into that Seattle game as well. So this team has been running the ball very effectively. I think they got away from that early against Seattle. That's how I expect them to establish offense. Dual purpose keeps Jared Goff and Sean McVay's offense on the sideline. That's how I would anticipate Doug Peterson coming out in the beginning. That number really stood out to me as far as that LA Rams defense. You know, you got undersized linebackers. We've got very, very large running backs, my friend. LeGarrette Blount's 250, Jay Ajayi's 230-something. These guys will run over some people. And so I think that's how they'll come out and attacking LA. I'll send it back over to you guys. I mean, Eagle front four, one of the best, one of the deepest in the NFL. Ronald Darby now back from injury. This secondary has been playing some better football. Obviously, the injury to Jordan Hicks, but Nigel Bradham and Michael Kendricks both playing exceptional football. You were talking about how, you know, Minnesota schematically was very sound, and they didn't let McVay kind of dictate. So do you anticipate that LA comes out trying to dictate the offensive game? Do you think that what you've seen from Philadelphia, they'll be able to respond? How do you think the attack's coming?
Yeah, that's a great question, because with McVay, I've almost given up trying to guess at what he's going to do back there, because he is always switching up, keeping people on their toes. I would expect that we're going to obviously try to get Gurley involved, whether that's through the run or the pass. And then, you know, it's kind of the great thing about it is if we get protection, Goff's allowed to sit back there. And we talked about, James mentioned the depth of the wide receivers. Cooper Kupp is one of the better route runners in the NFL, let alone as a rookie. So I expect to see him kind of find some holes in the defense, move the football. Really, it's about picking up first downs. Last week, we were 3 of 11 on third down, which was a struggle town for us. Hopefully we can kind of figure that out and kind of figure other ways to move the football.
Right. And one of the, I think, you know, to kind of answer your question, I think we're going to try to come off strong and score pretty quickly on our first couple of drives. I think the last seven games we've scored, whether it be a field goal or a touchdown on our first drive of the game. And I think we're going to try to do that. We're going to need to do that against this Philadelphia Eagles team, who's so strong. And the fact that we're going to be at home, we want to get this crowd involved. You know, we know that the Eagles struggled against a really loud crowd in Seattle, and we want to get our home crowd, which looks like ticket sales are through the roof right now. So we want to get Rams Nation at the stadium being loud. And if we can score early and show an offensive presence early utilizing this team, that's going to be the best attack. So I think we have to come out of the gate strong offensively. And
well, it's funny you mentioned about the sound. I saw on Twitter today, in the Rams Nation world of tweets, there's a big group going around that's getting the vuvuzelas. You know those things that
vuvuzela?
Were... Yeah, there you go. The thing that was basically outlawed in every stadium. Well, it's not really allowed in the LA Coliseum, but there's a bunch of people out there gathering these things up, and they're going to sneak them in. And I expect a loud crowd.
Let them know.
Yeah. LA Coliseum's listening to the podcast. It's going to be fun to see how we try to recreate that here in L.A. It's no Seattle. That's a crazy place to play. But we're expecting one of the bigger crowds of the year. I hope that we can create a tough environment for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because the last time Philly was in L.A. facing the Chargers, obviously different scenario, Chargers to Eagle fans alike said, yeah, it was felt like a home game for Philly. You know, it was very, very peculiar in that regard. Really like what you brought up, though, James. You know, my like key stat kind of for the game that I've been looking at, you have the best first quarter offense versus the best first quarter defense in the NFL right now. Rams coming in, averaging 7.5 points in the first quarter, leads the league. Eagles defense only allowing 2.3 points per first quarter. That leads the league. Eagles have yet to allow a first quarter touchdown this season. Hasn't happened. And so I think that, yeah, you're really going to see this game script defined early. As far as if that Eagle defense can hold the Rams, you know, obviously, like you said, so multiplicitous that Sean McVay attack, you know, you don't really know how they're going to come out. And so if you can adjust how they come out and temper them down and be able to make some sideline adjustments after that first and that second drive, you know, I think that the Eagle defense and the Eagle team will have the advantage there. If the Eagles give up that first quarter touchdown for 2017, that Rams offense gets cooking, and now you're playing from behind, you know, that's a bad situation to be in. So that's definitely my battle to watch, first quarter for sure.
Yeah, I think the first two drives of each team is going to be the whole momentum change of the first half of this game. And it's really going to be very telling on how the remainder of the game's going, that and the turnover battle and the penalty situation.
Yeah, you talked about turnover, which is always a key portion. And Ben, you mentioned the first quarter, how the Eagles are amazing coming out of the gate. I'm excited to see how you guys also come out in the second half, because I saw a stat, and I wish I had the numbers in front of me, but it basically said the Rams outscored their opponents in the third quarter like 73-13. Mm-hmm. It was something so lopsided like that. So that second or that third quarter for you guys is going to be huge to see if you can come out and, one, slow a team down that's used to kind of scoring and putting up points in the third quarter, as well as get your own engine going and kind of counteract that with some points. So, and you mentioned it, what's the thing that jumps out for you as far as the thing that scares you most from last week that you need to fix? Is it the running game, is it the passing game, or is it just things going right your way?
Yeah, I think what you got to be able to fix, you know, and I kind of alluded to it with Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson just being young, kind of regressing a little bit. To me, it comes down to it's a mental thing. You're on the West Coast. You're now practicing in your home facilities for a week. You just dropped a bad one against Seattle. If you can't reset and come against Los Angeles and come out strong, you've not only put yourself into a bad situation playoff seeding-wise, you've dropped two in a row. You keep dropping ones against teams that have winning records, because we know the Eagles have faced only like two teams this season with a winning record, so their schedule strength is being put into question. Not only have you done all that, well, now you put yourself into a situation where when you see a similar environment, i.e. in the playoffs, you know, potentially on the road, in your head, you're already saying we can't bounce back from this. You know, we haven't been able to handle those situations. So that's what's got me the most fearful. I think it's a big mental thing. You know, schematic, like the Eagles game against Seattle, they dropped by 14. But really, it was a much closer game than that. Eagles had four trips into the red zone, got 3 points. And that's highly averative compared to the way that Philadelphia has played in the red zone so far this year. I don't anticipate those problems again, because it was more mistake riddled shooting yourself in your own foot than it was Seattle doing anything particular. And so, you know, that's the one thing that I think needs to be fixed coming into this matchup.
So I'll throw another curveball here. You mentioned that Philly's going to be practicing on the West Coast in LA for the whole week leading up to the game. Well, I'm not sure if you heard over there, but we've had some pretty bad fire situations in the past 24 hours in LA. There's about 3 major fires around the whole city. The Rams in particular are going to be canceling practice on Wednesday due to the fires and trying to find a new place to practice. So I don't really know what's going on in the Philly situation, but we definitely have a unique variable in the situation going into this week with these fires that aren't really allowing these guys to get out there and practice full steam ahead.
Well, I actually had no idea. I haven't seen anything about that from Philadelphia media. I'm pretty sure the Eagles are somewhere in SoCal right now. I'm not sure if they're in LA. You know what I mean? They're practicing. I can't recall where they're practicing exactly. And so they may not be as affected by that as the Rams currently are.
Well, that definitely would be a one-up if they're not. I do know that the Cowboys have their summer practice here up in Oxnard, which is kind of where the fires are. And that's sort of in the area. I know you don't know the area, but that's kind of in the range of where the Rams are practicing too. So I'll have to do some research and let you know on Twitter where Philly is practicing and if that's going to have an effect on them.
They're at the LA Angel Stadium in Anaheim. That's where they're practicing.
Yeah, there you go.
They're south. In shape. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I kind of want to finish this up. We'll wrap up with kind of we got to get down to the nitty-gritty, right? Predictions. Yeah. What we got going on? I want to hear. We'll kind of go around the loop. I'll let Ben kick it off with predictions. Tell me score, why. Give me a little quick recap of the game, and then we'll go James and me.
Right, so I got to represent for the home team. And, you know, we talked on the when we were previewing this West Coast trip. We envisioned the Eagles going 1-1. If that meant holding ground against Seattle and then dropping to LA, but we thought it'd be 1-1, obviously, that's still the thought coming in. Right now, LA is 2.5-point favorites at home. The over-under set at 49.5. I think I'm comfortably taking the over, which I know, yes, last week, Eagle fans, I did say take the over. That game was weird. But I'm taking the over here. I envision these teams do both, push it above 50. I'm comfortable saying that. And I think that Philadelphia is able to take it home. I do anticipate a good running game performance. Jay Ajayi is my player to watch for Philadelphia. 2 weeks ago, a few touches, a bad fumble. He was kind of put into question by the Philadelphia media, and he responded very strongly saying, no, like I'm here for the team. I'm not upset by my number of touches. Gets more touches against Seattle. Looks really, really good. But then, like I said, Eagles moved away from the run as a whole, moved away from every single running back. But I think Ajayi really wants to have a big breakout game. I think he really wants to put his stamp on this Eagle team. I expect Philadelphia to come out and play a very physical brand of football. They've had their best success when Wentz doesn't have to take that many passing attempts and when the rushing game is really the one that's powering the offense. So Ajayi is my guy to watch. Hopefully, I think he might go over 100 yards. I do anticipate a bit of a shootout. Give me Philadelphia, Give me a 38-34.
All right. Well, I will give you the fact that we have struggled a bit on the rush defensive side. So even Arizona kind of gave us a hard time there in the second half. But so I do see your point there. And talking about, you know, lack of touches, we've had a few players talking about that. Anybody from Sammy Watkins to Todd Gurley in various games, not really receiving as many attempts as possible. But yes, we have Todd Gurley going out for receptions as well. And this is just one of those teams that if we need to pass the ball more, we're going to have to do so. So I am going to throw my prediction down. I am with you. It's going to be an offensive shootout, but I'm going to go more of like the 33-28 Rams mark.
All right. I like it. Well, poor Ben here. He's outnumbered. We're going to go 2-for-1 here. You know, if you had your co-hosts here, we'd probably be 2-for-2. But I'm with. You know, actually, I said earlier in one of our podcasts that I was going to go under the 30-point mark. So I'm going to stick to it because me and James have a side bet going here. So I can't go now and go back up over 30 because you guys are throwing these points out. I'm getting really excited. I think for some reason, because everyone thinks it's going to be one of those big shootouts, I think the defenses are taking that to pride right now. I don't think they're going to allow it to get up to that point. Carson saw some struggles last week. I think it was a perfect game plan that obviously we've been watching tons of film this week, not only of that game but previous. I think this is going to be in the 20s. And, of course, I think the Rams are going to pull it out. I think Todd Gurley is going to be the key. I think I'm with Ben here. I think we got to figure out a way to shut down the running game, whether that's Ajayi or Blunt or whoever else you want to throw back there. The thing that always drives me crazy with the Eagles actual rushers in the fantasy perspective is I never know who to start, right? Because you guys are spreading the ball. One guy, it's this one, next guy, it's that. It's kind of that New England Patriot who's going to kill you. But I am worried about whoever's back there. With that said, I'm going to say 28-24 Rams. I don't know how that's going to come together, but I'll tell you right now, when it happens, you're going to give me a call and go, Bear nailed it on the crossover. Ben, I appreciate having this conversation, being able to talk Eagles-Rams. I wish you best of luck. Hey, if you want to come out last minute, fly out this way. Me and James will host you. We'll take you downtown, and we'll spend $250 on a ticket and sneak into the game.
Oh, I love it. I appreciate it. No, hey, good time talking with you guys. A lot of fun. Who knows? Maybe we're meeting sometime in January down the road.
That's what I was hoping, that we can have a podcast later in the season talking actual playoff. This is playoff environment. We'll meet up later down the road and talk actual playoff games. Best of luck to you guys outside of this Sunday. Go Rams.
Yeah, same to you guys. Have a good one. Go Eagles. That was James and Bear. I'm Ben Solak. As always, please rate, review, subscribe. Check out LockedOnEagles.com for all the Eagles content you could ever need. Keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. Cuck all.